everything. They really were not kidding. So thank you all for coming this morning to see the kids and to worship with us. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day, for your day, when we can come gather together, fellowship, worship you, learn about you. I just ask that you would speak through your word to us this morning and have us learn what you will. In your name we pray. Amen. So it's funny. So when I was asked to speak by Dawn, she's very wise and knows that if you want me to do something, you ask me far enough in advance that it seems really far off in the future and like it won't be here for a while. So she has that down pat. But what I do for work, one of the things I do is I look at technology. I look at emerging technology, and I'm looking for ways that that will affect my company and what we do in the future. And I was doing some research recently and looking at artificial intelligence, machine learning, sort of this emerging field, and how we deal with information. And as I was looking at this, a lot of people, data scientists and physicists, are struggling with, okay, well, what's reality? It seems like the definition of what's real in our world is starting to change in a lot of people's minds. You guys play video games, right? And some of you do, some of you don't, some of you adults do, some of you don't. But the world, the virtual world that people are in, is starting to get more and more realistic. There was a researcher I was reading who was playing ping pong against another human, and it was so realistic in this virtual setup that when they finished the game, he went to put down his paddle on the table, which was a controller, and dropped his controller on the floor in the room because he had completely been immersed and didn't realize that he was playing a computer game, that he was in a virtual situation, and smashed the controller on the floor when he was done because this happened. Elon Musk, some of you are familiar with, have heard of SpaceX, and you've heard of the advances that they're making, Tesla, the car company. I just want to read you a quick article, and it'll tie together. In an interview with MIT researcher Lex Fridman, Tesla and SpaceX CEO Elon Musk reiterated his belief that we're all living inside a simulation. When Fridman asked him what his first question would be for the first ever artificial general intelligence system, Musk replied, "What's outside the simulation?" People who don't believe in God are looking for what is going on in our world. They're trying to figure out, they're starting to see something's going on here that I can't explain, and I want to know what that is. I'll skip down a little bit. For Musk, human reality amounts to a computer simulation created by greater forces. The extent to which he actually prescribes to this theory is hard to tell, but he has voiced concern about an all-powerful AI, artificial intelligence. He's even argued that AI is far more dangerous than nukes at different tech conferences. The singularity for this level of simulation is coming soon, Musk replied to a tweet. I wonder what the levels above us look like. There's a hunger in him to know what is real, and it seems like there are other physicists who have started to look into this. And when we look at what makes stuff around us, right? We know stuff is made of molecules, stuff is made of atoms. We get down to a certain level and everything is kind of the same at that level. You have, the three basic parts of some subatomic particles that make up everything, and everything is sort of the same at that level. So people are starting to ask themselves, well, how does this get arranged? And as I was reading this, I'm not going to read this because this is from a physicist and it's horrible, but But people are looking at the particles that build up everything, and they're saying, well, how, this doesn't make sense to us. So I just want to talk about three things, three points about what is real that we know from God's word. What is real? Because in our world, people are all over the place trying to explain what they see. And I'm going to flip around, and I don't have slides. I decided to spare Zach and Bree today, and will not do slides. So I'm going to jump around. You don't have to jump around with me if you don't want. But I'm going to start right at the beginning in Genesis 1, 1 through 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then obviously, Genesis goes through the creation, the days of God creating, but I'm going to skip down to Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And really, that talks about the issue of how are things arranged. People, scientists are having a hard time understanding, but God puts those elements together and creates us and everything around us. And to us, this evidence, we can see it in nature. It's Earth Week, right? Well, it used to be Earth Day, and then Earth Day turned into Earth Week, and now it's Earth Month, and it's getting longer and longer all the time. And to us who believe in God, it's obvious in nature around us where this came from. I'm skipping to Job 37, 2 through 14. Listen, listen to the roar of his voice, to the rumbling that comes from his mouth. He unleashes his lightning beneath the whole heaven and sends it to the ends of the earth. After that comes the sound of his roar. He thunders with his majestic voice. When his voice resounds, he holds nothing back. God's voice thunders in marvelous ways and does great things beyond our understanding. He says to the snow, fall on the earth, and to the rain shower, be a mighty downpour, so that everyone he has made may know his work. He stops all people from their labor. The animals take cover. They remain in their dens. The tempest comes out from its chamber, the cold from the driving winds. The breath of God produces ice, and the broad waters become frozen. He loads the clouds with moisture. He scatters his lightning through them. At his direction, they swirl around over the face of the whole earth to do whatever he commands them. He brings the clouds to punish people or the water, or to water his earth and show his love. Listen to this, Job. Stop and consider God's wonders. That was just a section of scripture that really, to me, talks about how the evidence of God, God's power, is in his creation all around us. It's right there. And it's easy sometimes for, well, I don't know how it's easy, but people overlook it when they're busy picking up trash and they don't realize like the world that we're in. I'm going to skip ahead to Romans 1, 18 through 25. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godless and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that the people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. God created everything, and the evidence of that is all around us. That's one real thing that's an anchor of the world we're in, the reality that God created for us. Also, second thing, we can't see everything that's real right now, but we know that there's more in this world than what we can see and touch with our hands and with our eyes. I'm going to jump to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6:10-18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We're warned that there's more. There's more going on than we can see. Even though our reality seems to be what's in front of us, there's a lot more happening than we can see here. And I left one verse out. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Because of that battle that's going on around us, not just where we can see, but where we can't see. And the third thing that is an anchor of our reality that I want to talk about is that there's only one way to God. It's really popular today to talk about. You probably hear it in school, you hear it in everywhere in the marketplace of ideas, that, well, all religions are generally the same. They're all talking about the same God. And that's not true. That's just, it's a way that people are trying to not have conflict with anyone, not ruffle anyone's feathers. We're not trying to, we want to get along with people. That's the way our society is. But at the same time, it's taking away and it's hiding the only path that there is to God and for us to have eternal life. So I'm going to switch, turn to John 12:42-50. John chapter 12. Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith, for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than praise from God. Then Jesus cried out, "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into this world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person, for I did not come to the world to judge, but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father told me to say. And then to a familiar verse over to John 14, 1 through 6. Before I read that, I just want to say what was going on was Jesus, many people during the day when Jesus was preaching and people were believing in him, they wanted to believe, but they were afraid because it was going against what was accepted by the culture at that time. And we're very much in that same situation today, where if you believe in God, if you believe that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven, you're an outsider now, and you're being made to feel like that's not true anymore, and you shouldn't even say that Jesus is the only way. And so this verse really spoke to me about that's nothing new. That's been going on as long as Jesus has been, from the time that Jesus came to earth and up until today. That's the same situation that we've been in. John 14, 1 through 6. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's the truth directly from Jesus of the only way that there is to heaven. So with a lot going on, people are pretty confused about what's real these days. I just wanted to talk about those three things that are real. God created everything. The evidence is all around us. We can't see everything that God created, and there's a battle going on that we can't see. And there's only one way to God, and those are three of many. There are other, obviously, other truths, but those are three really important ones that I wanted to talk about this morning. So, and strangely enough, they're right. The physicists and people who are questioning the reality, is this all there is? They're right. There is more than that, more than what we can see. And we should pray for those people that they are able to learn the truth. And that was what I had for you this morning. So.